booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. What a weekend it was. Orthodox Easter, the Kentucky Derby, and a whole lot of news. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. I'm Juliet Huddy. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We had a wonderful weekend at Michael's on Friday night. Great restaurant in Brooklyn. Loved it.
I'm so glad you guys made the trip. It was such a treat to be able to meet your husband in person and hang out with him a little bit.
Well, I loved Rachel. She was fantastic. And we had another couple join us, James and Joyce. They were so much fun. Place was fantastic. I can't wait to go again.
Same here.
Okay, so you know that Deb is following breaking news, obviously. Christian and Eric are at the controls. Sid is up with sports at 5:15 and 6:15. And here is what's trending today. I have a feeling people are going to love this one. People have apparently, Frank, been quitting their jobs, their real jobs, because of the pandemic. They've realized that life is short and they want to go after their dreams. So they're leaving their regular jobs and they're going for what they always wanted to do. That seems to be the trend, which I think is really interesting.
Well, that is interesting.
Yeah, and then a kind of a surprise at this big vaccination world concert that featured a whole bunch of famous people, including J-Lo. And was the Duke of Sussex there alone? And if so, why? Curious, yes.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. A gentleman who is often alone at vaccination events is responsible for the traffic every 10 minutes on the sevens, and that's Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. And if you're eastbound on Route 4, Decatur Avenue, there's an accident there. They are working on that. Apparently, several vehicles involved in this. So as you come eastbound on Route 4, Decatur Avenue, you've got that problem. Now, on the drive southbound on 155th Street, there's an accident with two lanes out of service. Queensbound Throgsneck, one lane out with road work. Now, they have some switch trouble on the 1 and 2 lines. As a result, northbound, they're on the express tracks here on the overnight from Chambers to 42nd Street. And then further south of Manhattan, they're having some other issues. And number 3 on the locals and alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is going to be a cloudy day. We're going to have some light rain in the afternoon. Only going to get up to about 64 degrees. What was up with yesterday? I thought it was supposed to be this hot, sunny day. I mean, the sun came out for about 2 seconds. Anyway, I'll stop complaining about my life. 72 degrees tomorrow. We'll also have some cloudy skies, but it will become a little sunny at times, but mainly it's just going to be clouds, and we could be in for a stray shower or a thunderstorm at some point tomorrow, so just keep an eye out for that. Wednesday, more rain, high of 63 degrees, but finally on Thursday, it looks like we've got mostly sunny skies and a high of only about 62 degrees, Frank.
All right. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what we get in terms of rain today, because
is it going to be interesting to see what
happens? It is. Yeah. Because we have grass seed in our backyard, and if it rains today, then I will not have to water the grass seed in the backyard.
Well, you're in luck, because it's probably going to rain today, tomorrow, and Wednesday.
Exactly. All right. I am in luck. All right. Well,
that's interesting.
New York City's COVID restrictions are changing once again. Starting today, seating at bars will be able to return to establishments throughout the five boroughs. This, as Governor Cuomo recently pushed curfews for restaurants and bars back to midnight, is a big boost for the industry. Curfews throughout the state will be completely lifted by May 17th.
Nearly two-thirds of all Americans who were surveyed say that they are optimistic about the next year, as, of course, President Biden is wrapping up his first 100 days as president. This is according to a new poll by ABC News and Ipsos. Apparently, in that same poll, a little more than a third, or 36-ish percent, say that they're feeling pessimistic. Majority of Americans, 52%, say that they do support federal spending to boost the economy. Most Republicans, 78%, think that taxes should stay the same, but of course, Democrats disagree.
In New Jersey, undocumented immigrants can now apply for a driver's license. The law went into effect on Saturday, which is when the Motor Vehicle Commission started accepting applications. New Jersey is the 14th state now allowing its more than 450,000 undocumented residents to apply for a driver's license or non-driver identification card. New York has had this for a couple of years now.
All right, this is a great story. Prince Harry received a standing ovation after he offered a real sweet, heartfelt thank you to the frontline workers, nurses, and doctors, and all of that. And he also urged Americans to look beyond ourselves with empathy and compassion when it comes to the coronavirus vaccine. This was happening during the Vax Live charity concert that was being held yesterday in Los Angeles. Apparently, it was a really packed audience, but everybody in the audience has received their vaccination. Harry was among many celebrities, including J-Lo, Selena Gomez, and Ben Affleck. Interestingly, do you remember that J-Lo and Ben Affleck used to be a couple?
I did remember that.
Apparently, they're hanging out again.
And weren't they a portmanteau? Weren't they Bennifer for a while?
They were, exactly. Yes, and she had that great song, Jenny from the Block, and he was in the video, and then it came crashing down. But anyway, they were all there to take stage to tape this Global Citizen event at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. So this whole concert promotes the equitable distribution of coronavirus vaccines worldwide. And that was the first, I think it was Harry's first public appearance in the U.S., but clearly, since his grandfather died, definitely. But clearly, Americans are definitely Team Harry and Meghan.
A 6-foot 10-inch fish is back in the Detroit River after being caught last week.
Oh, my. That sounds like a nightmare.
The Alpena Fish and Wildlife Conservation Office said on Facebook, the sturgeon is believed to be a female who's been roaming the waters for over 100 years.
What?
The office noted the real-life river monster is one of the largest sturgeon ever recorded in the United States. She was quickly released back into the water after being processed.
Oh, can you imagine swimming up next to that?
No, I can't. Imagine catching it.
That literally sounds like my worst nightmare. Sea life. Hate sea life unless it's dead on my plate. If you have to find something positive that came out of COVID, I would say that maybe this is one of those things. Apparently, people who, Frank, have been staying home for a year and a half or whatever it's been, some of them have had an epiphany. They've realized that their lives weren't that interesting. Their jobs, they weren't that interesting. And so according to experts, more than ever before, people are leaving the safety of their job that they have just toiled away at, you know, for their whole life. And they're finally saying, you know what, I'm going to go after what I really think is going to make me happy. They're finally deciding to go after their what might have been their side hustle or their hobby or their passion, and they're making that more than ever before their actual job. And I think people, according to the study, said the experts say that a lot of younger people are doing this, and they're motivated by the fact that because they stayed home, they couldn't go out, they couldn't spend a lot of money, so they were actually able to save. And, you know, they're feeling confident. They're feeling like they're flush. So they're emboldened, and they're taking chances like they wouldn't have before.
So we're going to have thousands of people now becoming YouTube influencers.
Yes,
for the first
exactly.
time, right? Pursuing their real passion?
Pretty much.
All right, this is a follow-up to a story that we had brought to your attention about a week ago. A Texas woman is being let off on charges after forgetting to return a VHS tape over 20 years ago. Karen McBride lived in Oklahoma at the time when someone she was dating rented a VHS tape of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. McBride found out about the charges when she tried to change her name after she was married last year. The county clerk in Oklahoma told her the charge was felony embezzlement. McBride was let off of the charge because the store was no longer in business.
It is just about 5:15, and I'm curious to hear how Sid's night went at Michael's. He came Saturday night. We were there on Friday night.
Well, I was supposed to. I did speak to Michael Saturday morning. My friend Thomas and Cheryl canceled, so he didn't make it. But I did speak to Michael on Saturday, and he loved you guys. You know, Frank, of course, but loved you guys.
Well, so
you know, there were actually people that showed up to the restaurant on Saturday night from New York City to come meet me and my family.
Stop.
I swear to God.
I believe that.
And I said to Mike, I go, did Frank get that last night? I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
Do you hear this? Does anybody hear what
no,
I'm hearing
you
here?
Think I really said that?
Yes, I do.
Of course I did.
Now, first of all.
You know, that was the first thing. That was the first thing that came out of Sid's mouth the second Michael said that to him. That was the first thing.
Now, first of all, Sid, you had tried to get Juliet and me to change our plans to meet you guys on Saturday.
That's right.
What if we had changed our plans?
Well, then I would have come. If you guys were there, I would have come. But once Cheryl and Thomas, who live two blocks away, canceled, we decided not to come. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So,
but I know you loved it. I saw the video with you and John, Juliet. You guys loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I told you.
John can't wait to go back. I'm so excited.
Best Italian restaurant in the world.
I agree with you.
Including Rome.
I can't disagree with you. 5:15, what's happening in sports?
All right, let's go to the Yankees. Listen, the ills for a sick baseball team, the Tigers. Take on the Tigers. You're bound to have a good weekend. The Yankees get their first sweep of the season, 103. But in this one yesterday, Corey Kluber was the star. 8 scoreless innings. The Yankees shut out the Tigers 2-0. Huge weekend for Aaron Judge. But Corey Kluber earns his 100th career victory, the former Indian great. Here he was after yesterday's Yankee win.
It's cool. It's a huge accomplishment, obviously. It's not just you, obviously. There's teammates involved in getting you to that point. Training staff, strength staff, all that kind of stuff. But it's definitely a cool moment.
Yankees are back to 500 at 14-14. They're now in third inside the AL East. They're off today. They'll start a series in the Bronx against the Houston Astros tomorrow. Metsies got a big win, too. They scored 6 in the eighth, highlighted by a 3-run double by Pete Alonso. They beat the Phillies by a final score of 8-7. 4 hits for Jeff McNeil. 3 hits apiece for red-hot Michael Conforto and Pilar. Again, the Mets get the win 8-7. They're now 11-11. And Alonso thinks this can really get this team going.
Just such great team baseball, like picking each other up, making plays in the field, pitchers getting big outs when they need to get big outs, and clutch hitting. And I think that I don't know if that's a season defining game tonight, but it's definitely a momentum shifter.
Mets are actually in first place at 11-11. They start a series in St. Louis against the Cardinals later on tonight. NBA, look at the Knicks. They won by 25 last night, 122-97 over the Rockets. 31 for Julius Randle, 24 for D. Rose off the bench, 21 for R.J. Barrett. The Knicks are 8 games over 500. They've got a solid hold of the 4th spot in the East. The Nets, they fell out of the 1 seed. They're now the 2 seed. They lose 117-114 to Milwaukee. Big night for the Greek Freak. Puts in 49 against the Nets, who are now at 43-22, a half game back of the 76ers. And don't forget, last week the Jets took their quarterback, Zach Wilson, out of BYU, number 2 overall last Thursday night. Will he be the next Joe Namath? Well, we'll find out today when we speak to Joe Namath on Bernie and Sid at 9:05. Sports at 15:45. WABC Early News. I'm Sid Rosenberg.
5:17. Now let's check in with Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s.
Joe Namath, that's going to be great. Westbound Route 4, Decatur Avenue and T-neck down pole wires. Again, earlier accident there. In the process of being cleared up and out of the way, if you're on the drive southbound, we still have that collision. 2 lanes are out left and center as you come southbound on 155th Street, and you're backed up now to the George Washington Bridge. Queensbound Throgs Neck Bridge, if you're headed there this morning, there's some road work. 1 lane is out. Now, on the subways, the Uptown 1 trains are on the express track Chambers to 42nd Street, switch trouble at Penn Station, and the downtown 2 and 3 trains are on the local tracks from 14th to Chambers, that because of track work and alternate side is in effect. To support a service of Audible, freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start a free 30-day Audible Plus trial when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Okay, thank you so much, Joe. And coming up in your business report, Frank's got some information on Janet Yellen and possible tax hikes. We all love hearing that. And in the Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up at 5:40, this whole vaccine passport controversy, I'm going to try to clear things up for folks. Coming right up.
This is the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Wall Street welcomes a fresh trading week after the major averages fell Friday, despite record first quarter results from e-commerce giant Amazon. Apple shares slipped after EU regulators accused it of violating antitrust laws over its App Store practices. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones fell 185 points. The S&P 500 lost 30 points, and the NASDAQ dropped 119 points. The Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says most American families won't pay more in taxes under President Biden's infrastructure plan. Yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press, Yellen recommended closing tax loopholes so corporations pay their fair share to Uncle Sam. She noted current corporate taxes account for just 7% of the total federal revenue. Yellen emphasized Biden's pledge that only those making over $400,000 would see tax increases. She did reiterate that now's the time to invest in things that shore up middle class prosperity. Juliet,
New York is back. Speaking of prosperity, there's apparently some new data out, and also all you have to do is just look around. It's pretty clear the Big Apple has been rebounding. Food delivery orders are falling because people are heading out to eat. Rush hour is happening. It reappears, basically, and that's not so great. Rents are rising. We talked about that last week. Obviously, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, announced last week that we will fully open. The city will fully reopen on July 1st, and then, of course, Cuomo came right in and said, no, it's probably going to be sooner than that. He is talking about restrictions easing May 7th. You've got the nice weather. You've got the fact that more than 40% of New Yorkers have had at least one vaccine shot. And that is pushing people to feel like, yeah, things are going well. Foot traffic, according to the data, has shot up 34%. Of pre-pandemic activity. Rents are going up. However, the one area that seems in this city to be suffering still is Wall Street. It's very quiet still. Muhammad has a coffee cart down there near Wall Street. He said pre-pandemic, he was selling 500 coffees a day. Now it's about 30. But I have a feeling, again, as the weather starts to get warmer and people are going to be back in their offices, that I think we're going to start to see a nice little uptick in optimism and positivity in this city.
I'm looking forward to bars reopening today. It'd be nice to sit at a bar and order a drink for the first time in a year.
Well, there you go. Good luck. Have fun with that.
Thank you. A group of Cuomo-sexual women has formed an online fan club for beleaguered Governor Andrew Cuomo and say members have bombarded a state hotline set up to report allegations against the governor with supportive messages. So fans formed this Facebook page called Women for Governor Cuomo about a month ago, with some urging people to confront his accusers online, attend pro-gubernatorial rallies, and help fund supportive ads. The Wall Street Journal reporting that the group boasts more than 1,100 followers, mostly women over the age of 55, some of whom say they have been calling the hotline and leaving messages in his defense.
So confront the accusers online.
That is what the Cuomo-sexuals are doing.
Okay. The Republican lawmaker who was caught on security camera holding the door open to let MAGA rioters storm the Capitol in Oregon has been charged with two misdemeanors. Representative Mike Nierman was seen on video. He was holding the door, allowing these protesters to get into the Capitol building back in December. Then the protesters are seen fighting with the police who are trying to get them out of there. This Nierman guy was charged on Friday with official misconduct and criminal trespass. Democrats, of course, calling on him to resign.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see if that actually comes to fruition.
I think that would be probably a great thing, frankly.
Absolutely. The death toll from a boat tragedy near San Diego is up to 4. 3 women and 1 man lost their lives when the boat crashed into a reef and capsized yesterday. The 25 other survivors are said to be in the hospital, including the captain, who is now in intensive care, who's now in custody, excuse me. Officials believe he was trying to smuggle in illegal immigrants. Most managed to swim to shore, but 2 Navy sailors were seen jumping in to rescue others who were caught in a rip current.
So, you know, Frank, we've been talking about this DOD report on UFOs.
Oh, yes.
So the Department of Defense is apparently really jamming to try to prepare this report on UFOs and sightings by the military, by members of the military, of unidentified aerial phenomena, as they call it. And this report is supposed to be handed over to Congress by June 1st. And obviously, it could bring us some revelations and answers about these strange aircraft-type things, a TikTok-shaped aircraft that appear to be superior technologically to anything in our military arsenal. So the guy, Luis Elizondo, if you watch that History Channel show about this whole phenomenon happening. He is the former head of the Pentagon secret UFO program, and he says that he has seen very, very compelling data about technologically advanced UFOs. And he's basically warning that this impending UFO report could reveal some pretty breathtaking revelations, Frank, including that the U.S. has been, quote, leapfrogged technologically by a foreign adversary in an intelligence failure on par with 9/11.
I mean, that's wild. I've been trying to get Mr. Elizondo on the radio with us. So far, I haven't had any luck. But now that he's being more vocal, perhaps we can try again. It's really an interesting situation.
It's really frightening, actually, because, you know, some of the stuff that you saw on this show that he was hosting back in 2019, I believe it was, you saw these U.S. destroyers on patrol suddenly get swarmed by these TikTok-shaped drone UFO thing, which were able to travel long distance at high speeds, things that and do these maneuvers that we don't understand, like that technologically we can't explain. So it's a little disturbing. To see
what's also disturbing is that Elizondo says that he was prohibited from bringing this information directly to General Mattis, who was his boss at the time. And you really wonder what
Why?
Interest the Pentagon has in suppressing this information, including from the top echelons of government.
Well, let's just hope it's our crazy TikTok-shaped drones and not another country.
Indeed. All right, 527, somebody who could tell you all the UFO traffic that you need to worry about on the way to work. This is Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
And good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet, again. And if you're traveling westbound Route 4, Decatur Avenue in Teaneck, there's a down pole wires earlier accident there. That continues. Southbound on the drive, we're backed up from the George Washington Bridge now down to the 150s. An accident. Two lanes are out of service there. And before you know it, that'll get back onto the Cross Bronx. If you're Queensbound Throgs Neck, one lane out with road work. And then also delays on the Uptown 1 trains from Express. They're on the Express track from Chambers to 42nd Street with switch trouble at Penn Station. And then southbound on Route 3, they're on the locals from 14th Street to Chambers Street. That because of track work and alternate side of the street. Parking rules once again today are in effect. In this report, the service of Indeed.com. Whether you hire one person or hire up a storm, you can count on Indeed. Indeed has 135 skill tests that help you find the right candidate faster. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. More Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, the TSA is working on a new system that could let passengers get through those lines even more quickly than we do now, which would be fantastic. And also, travel hospitality industries not happy right now with the Biden administration. I'll tell you why.
From the 77 WABC Early News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine. Human remains discovered in a marsh in Mastic Beach. Suffolk County cops say they're investigating after a cleaning crew made this gruesome discovery of a skeleton near Washington Avenue. The medical examiner will identify these remains and the cause of death. Well, as we know, the coronavirus pandemic has led to a huge increase in hate crimes all across the United States against Asian Americans. Incident numbers in the U.S. in the thousands since March of 2020. In New York City yesterday, elected officials held an anti-Asian hate crime rally. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of Brooklyn among the speakers on Sunday.
We want to tell those evil few who propagate that Asian hate that you are not New Yorkers, you are not Americans, and under the new law we passed, we will prosecute you and give you the punishment you deserve.
The federal COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act passed the U.S. Senate by a 94-1 vote in April. It is expected to be voted on by the House of Representatives this coming week. Well, five people shot, one dead in New Rochelle, a 29-year-old Brooklyn man killed after being shot in his neck just before midnight Saturday. A second shooting victim underwent surgery. Three others treated for non-life-threatening injuries. So far, though, no arrests. WABC News Time, 5:30. Fox is next.
Fox News, I'm Sal Chiangrasso. Multiple tornadoes reported across Mississippi, causing some damage but no immediate word of injuries. A line of severe storms rolled through the state yesterday afternoon and into the nighttime hours. Late Sunday, a tornado emergency was declared for Tupelo and surrounding areas, meteorologists urging residents to take cover. A packed boat being used in a suspected human smuggling operation capsized and broke apart along the San Diego coast.
The Coast Guard, alongside multiple agencies, responding to a capsized boat off Point Loma around 10 o'clock local time Sunday morning. There were 25 survivors, including one in critical condition, four others killed. Majority of the survivors were sent to different hospitals in the county. CBP reporting the 40-foot boat was suspected of being used to transport migrants into the U.S.
That's Fox's Jackie Ibanez. America is listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everybody. It is 5:31. It is going to be a kind of a lousy day. Cloudy, maybe rain developing this afternoon. We'll get to the weather in a little bit. I'm Juliet Huddy.
And I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frank.
Quite a bit of news happening. We've been following this mayor's race, Juliet, and currently, while the polls have narrowed a little bit, the leader among the Democrats is Andrew Yang. And Andrew Yang has made a decision. He's made a decision about who he'd like to see as his deputy mayor, and it happens to be one of the people that he's running against, Catherine Garcia. Now, he says if he's elected, he would ask Catherine Garcia to serve as his first deputy mayor. If you thought that that's something that would be flattering to the former sanitation commissioner, you would be incorrect. The former commissioner and mayoral hopeful said that it was, quote, sexist for Yang and other male opponents in the race to suggest she'd accept a role as their behind-the-scenes sidekick. Quote, I would like Andrew Yang to stop saying that. I'm not running for number two, she said in an interview with The New Yorker that was published on Saturday.
Frank, I know you've been wondering, what makes a man attractive? Well, I will tell you.
I have been.
According to Single Women, the physical and emotional traits that stand out on a date are pretty shocking, I think. It's more than good looks. Single guys assume, just generally, that women are drawn to the tall, dark, and handsome types. And we are. But apparently, this new research shows the traits that women are most attracted to include chivalry, Frank.
Yeah, I'm liking this
box.
List so far.
Exactly. Personality, a sense of humor, and honesty.
Mm. I'm
yes,
really
I
close
agree with
on this one.
I do. I think it's good.
All right. Well, Rudy Giuliani is still ripping the federal government and FBI agents for their raid on his apartment last week. And now he's getting some help from another former Trump attorney, and that is Alan Dershowitz. Attorney Alan Dershowitz saying yesterday that the former mayor should not have been treated in a manner that he was, and comparing the actions of the FBI to a banana republic. In a banana republic, when a candidate loses for president, they go after the other candidate. They go after his lawyer. They go after his friends. Dershowitz made those remarks right here on this radio station on the Katz Roundtable with our owner, John Catsimatidis. It remains to be seen what the next step is in this Giuliani investigation.
Well, this is a crazy story. An elderly man used his knowledge of Morse code that he learned when he was in the military to help him and his wife escape from an assisted living facility in Tennessee. The guy, apparently, he listened in on staff using an electronic door keypad, and he used his knowledge of Morse code to, I guess, decipher the number that he needed to enter to get out. So the couple, the pair who both suffer from dementia, went missing for about 30 minutes before a stranger finally found them about two blocks away from this facility. The husband said that he'd previously worked with Morse code in the military and that he used that experience to learn, you know, the sounds of the electronic keypad. State officials have since fined this home as a result of these two escaping. I mean, I feel kind of bad for the people at the home. I mean, you got, this is a very clever man, clearly. But they have since changed all of their exit codes, and they've promised to check on residents more frequently.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal story, and it's an incentive to learn Morse code, which I never really learned, but it goes to show you, it comes in handy. I'm a little unclear, though. He suffered from dementia,
yeah,
but was able to know Morse code well enough to use it to escape?
Yeah.
That's really, really something. Yeah. All right. Well, Elon Musk is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live this coming week, and a lot of people are unhappy about it. There are reports that the cast is unhappy. There are reports that a lot of people in the comic community are unhappy. But Elon Musk seems more concerned with pitching sketch ideas than he does to the reaction to the backlash. He's throwing out some skit ideas, and he asked his 2.5 million Twitter followers, "What should I do?" And then he followed up with some of his own pitches. Woke James Bond, Baby Shark and Shark Tank merge to form Baby Shark Tank, and Irony Man, who defeats villains using the power of irony.
I have to say, I think this could be just an absolutely hysterical
SNL. I can't wait. I have not looked forward to a Saturday Night Live episode this much since Eddie Murphy hosted.
Yeah, this guy, he's a wacko. I mean, he is so eccentric, and he's just going to be, he's going to be like watching, I don't even know, like watching a, he's going to be like watching a lunatic sitting up there. God knows what he's going to do. But those are actually pretty funny ideas.
Yeah, I like them.
So this was a pretty unhappy day for folks sitting at a restaurant, a waterfront restaurant in Tennessee. 11 people were injured, two of them critically, after this deck at the waterfront restaurant collapsed during a birthday party. People, I guess there were about 40 or 50 people standing there posing for a picture, and the thing just, all of a sudden you hear, and then it just collapses. And 11 people are still, they're in the hospital. A couple of them are in bad shape. But if you look at this, the deck didn't go into the water. It just kind of collapsed onto a grass area. But not fun. Mm. Kind of ruined the day.
Speaking of day ruining moments, it's time for Joe Nolan, who's got the traffic and transit on the 7th. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Frank. Southbound Drive. We're all backed up from the George Washington Bridge down 155th Street. Again, an accident. Two lanes are out, left and center. So as you come off of the ramp from the George Washington Bridge, heading down the Harlem River Drive, you're going to get on the brakes. Now, westbound Route 4 at Decatur Avenue, down pole, down wires. Earlier accident there. That's being cleared. We had some trouble on the subways this morning. The Uptown 1 trains are on the express track, Chambers to 42nd Street. That would switch trouble. And then the Downtown 3 are on the locals from 14th to Chambers. That because of track work. And there are also delays on the F and the N and the R. And alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. All right. Coming up in your Jet Set Julia travel update, there has been a lot of confusion about vaccination cards, vaccination passports, what you need to travel. Do you need to get a COVID test? We're going to talk about this, plus some breaking news in the airline world right after the break.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
540, this is the WABC Early News. The Wall Street stock market was on a bit of a roller coaster last week. Finishing the week down, the Dow Jones fell 185 points on Friday. The S&P lost 30 points, and the NASDAQ dropped 119. And the head of the White House Council of Economic Advisors says while the economy is recovering, it still needs some shoring up. On Fox News Sunday, Cecilia Rouse said the relief plan passed in March was the first step towards stopping the economic tumble through extra money in Americans' wallets and money for getting the COVID-19 shots in arms. Rouse says that while growth numbers are starting to rise in America, we're not at the point where we were before the pandemic. She believes part of the spending plans proposed fill holes that the private sector simply can't, Juliet.
Thank you, Frank. From your Jet Set Julia travel update realm, the TSA, this is some breaking news, is working to develop a next generation screening system that would let passengers finally leave their liquids in the bags at the security screening checkpoints. That's the great news. The bad news is it could take years or even maybe a decade before the system is actually introduced to the public, unfortunately. And some other breaking news. Delta is the second airline, the second to last airline, rather, to stop blocking those middle seats. Alaska Airlines is going to be ending that whole blocking middle seats situation in its extra legroom premium class on May 31st. Hawaiian, JetBlue, Southwest, they all capped capacity, but these policies were scrapped by mid-January. And now Delta says that it will once again resume selling its flights at 100% capacity starting on May 1st, ending that year-long middle seat block, which is kind of a bummer, but pretty much to be expected. Meantime, a coalition of travel stakeholders, they're urging the Biden administration to start speeding up the process of letting us know when we are going to be able to have international tourists come to the U.S. and where those tourists are allowed to come from. Basically, these groups, including the big travel associations, the hotel associations, things like that, they're basically worried that the administration, Biden administration, is behind the eight ball compared to other countries around the world in opening up to international tourists, or at least letting us know when they're going to. One of the big problems, obviously, is that people here, hospitality, travel, all these different types of industry companies and outlets need to plan. So human beings need to plan for their trips overseas meantime. So transportation needs to anticipate those plans. Hotels need to anticipate those plans. And right now, whether it's airlines that travel to the U.S. or hotels here, American hospitality and travel companies are clueless. And they say, look, we need to know what to expect. And we need to know now, because right now we're totally in the dark. You know, where are you going to be allowing people to come? Which countries will they be coming from and all that business? So there's real push right now in the Biden administration to finally make some announcements. Meantime, you got to hold on to your vaccination cards. If you are fully vaccinated, you know that you have that white card. It's basically something that can be duplicated really easily. There could be forgeries, and that's a big concern. Americans who have been fully immunized could be allowed to travel to Europe this summer. And this is, of course, according to the president of the EU. We talked about this last week. The European Union hasn't specifically announced the formal requirements to let its 27 member nations. They haven't told them exactly how they're going to create this whole plan, but it is likely that Americans will be able to travel to Europe. The question is, what type of documentation do Americans need to show, and who do they show it to, and will there be different types of documentation? For instance, there's been this whole drama over the so-called vaccine passport. The vaccine passport is nothing more than a digital documentation of your paper that you're holding in your hand. It's not something that's going to be holding a bunch of information that's going to be sent to the government. That is what certain groups and certain pundits and certain media types are suggesting, but that is just not the case. And the thing is, when you travel, when you get to the airport, certain airlines are saying, well, we need this documentation. We need this outlet. We need the clear pass. We need the Verifly pass. And so many people are so confused because all these different outlets, whether it's transportation, whether it's airlines, whether it's wherever, nobody knows what we're supposed to show up with because there are so many different things. So this is why there's a push to have the Biden administration give one specific vaccine passport with just the information that you have been vaccinated, which it was and where you got it done. Again, this seems to be a big problem, but I have a feeling they're going to have to come up with something because it's just creating too much confusion. And I'm concerned that people are going to show up. They're going to get to the airport, use the right documentation. Then they're going to finally get to the airport in, let's say, Spain, and they're not going to have the proper documentation, and they're going to be sent right back home. So we need to get some sort of streamlined process or we're in big trouble. And that's your Jet Set Julia travel update.
5:45. Thank you, Juliet. And I want to ask you about Pisa in a little bit because this is going to be very much up your alley. 5:45, time for a man who's now become the poster child for the pro-vaccination movement, the one and only Sid Rosenberg, who has all the sports news that's fit to listen to.
Thank you, Frank and Juliet. I wouldn't go that far, but I am 2 weeks
away. You
were
out there with Jennifer Lopez at that
I'm glad you saw
pro-vax
that.
Event.
Yes, I was there. good weekend for the baseball locals, Frank. We'll start with your New York Mets. Metsies are now 11-11, 500 baseball team, but good enough for first place atop the NL East. After beating the Phillies yesterday 8-7, they reversed a home run call against the Phillies. It was the right call. And the Mets held on to win 8-7. The Mets had a big eighth inning. They plated 6 runs in that inning, half of those on one hit by Pete Alonso.
First pitch to Alonso, headed for the gap in right center field, and that might clear the bases. They're going to try it with all three. A bases loaded 3-run double for Pete Alonso, and the Mets have broken it open in the eighth.
Mets got 4 hits from Jeff McNeil. Pilar, 3 hits and a home run. Conforto, he's red hot. He had 3 hits, beat the Phillies 8-7. Mets in St. Louis for the Cardinals tonight. Yankees swept the Tigers this weekend. Corey Kluber earned his 100th career win yesterday. 8 shutout innings. Don't look now, but the Yanks are back to 502 at 14-14. They're now in third. They enjoy a day off tomorrow in Houston for Reggie Jackson, who now works for the Astros. The Houston Astros coming up tomorrow night. NBA, New York Knicks, unreal story, 122-97, beat the Rockets by 25 last night. Julius Randle led the way with 31. They got 21 from R.J. Barrett and a big game from Derrick Rose. D. Rose threw in 24 off the bench and said this after yesterday's Knicks win.
I mean, we're fighting for something. We know that down the stretch, we want to be playing our best basketball and giving our best effort and playing with urgency. And we believe in one another.
Knicks are on a tear, 8 games over 500. They're 4th in the East. The Nets, they fell to the Bucks, 117-114. Could not stop the Greek Freak. He put in 49 against Brooklyn yesterday. With the loss, the Nets fall to 2nd inside the Eastern Conference. They're a half game back of the 76ers. And coming up at 9:05 this morning on Bernie and Sid, Jet great Joe Namath talking about the Jet draft choice Zach Wilson, who the Jets took number 2 out of BYU on Thursday night. Sports at 15-45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid.
5:47,
I'm Sid.
With sports, more from him at 6:15. I hope, Joe Nolan, you will end your traffic report with simply, I'm Joe.
All right. If you're westbound on Route 4 at Decatur Avenue, a down pole, down wires, earlier accident again. That's in Teaneck, New Jersey. Still in the process of being cleared. Now, southbound on the drive at 132nd Street, an accident. That one's off on the shoulder. Now, on the drive southbound, still some pretty good delays. As you get down to 155th Street, there is an accident there. 2 lanes are out of service. Apparently, several vehicles involved in that. Now, on the subways, we got trouble on the Uptown 1 trains. Express only, Chambers to 42nd with switch trouble. And then the Downtown 2 and 3 trains are on the local track from 14th to Chambers, also with track work, and then also delays on the F, the N, and the R, and alternate side again today is in effect. The support of service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start a 30-day free trial at Audible Plus, audible.com. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. And coming up, why is President Biden still wearing a mask outside?
This is the WABC Early News.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. It is Juliet Huddy and also Frank Morano. President Biden, as you probably have noticed, is still keeping his face mask on, and he allegedly or apparently is not following the advice from his own CDC. They have said you can ditch your mask outdoors if you have been vaccinated. Well, he's been getting a lot of flack for that, if you've noticed on social media. And White House advisor Anita Dunn decided to acknowledge that and address it. She said on Sunday that the president was taking, quote, extra precautions, and that mask wearing had become, quote, a matter of habit. I mean, that's a habit that I would definitely want to break. Last week, as you saw, President Biden kept his face mask on after these new CDC guidance came out. This new CDC guidance came out and suggested that fully vaccinated people could shed their masks outdoors for pretty much anything, just as long as they weren't just on top of each other, like at a concert, for instance. The president said that he wore the mask so people could watch him take it off and not put it back on until he was inside. By the way, the risk of coronavirus transmission outdoors is very low. Again, according to the CDC, fewer than 10% of the cases are contracted outside. Most of those are linked to crowds and close contact.
Again, I don't want to editorialize on this question, but just briefly, I have to mention that I find what the president is doing to be so counterproductive in terms of getting more people vaccinated. If people see that they'll be able to ditch their masks once they're vaccinated, I really do think you'll see the vaccine skeptics and the vaccine hesitants be much more likely to get vaccinated. And there was a lot of criticism, and rightly so, for some of the imagery that was coming out of the Trump White House. And I really am concerned about this same imagery in terms of masking with the Biden White House as well.
Well, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I would rather the imagery of people wearing masks than not wearing them when they should be. But you make a great point, and I think it's time that we have to be consistent. Our lawmakers have to be consistent with science and with the actual realistic data.
All right. Well, men who wear tops with large logos are usually seen as being less interested in committed relationships.
That's interesting.
According to researchers. Now, I don't believe this was the same study that you were citing earlier about women and attractiveness of men. But participants in this particular study thought men who owned such shirts would be more interested in brief affairs. Those who wore shirts with smaller logos, however, were perceived as more likely to want deeper intimacy.
That is, well, what do you think about that?
I would never even occur to me to think about this. I've never thought about this in my life.
I mean, are they talking about logos like sports teams?
I think so, yeah.
Well,
or anything else for that matter.
I guess as a female, when you look at a guy who's wearing a football jersey just walking around town, you think, well, this guy's really, you know, a bro. He's really into sports, and he's probably going to be one of those bro types that's not the chivalrous, you know, Frank Morano type.
Well, first of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
Second, I love that you've ascribed this whole fictional backstory and hypothetical backstory to what women would think of this.
Well, I'm giving you my perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you.
I am a female as long as the last time I checked.
No, you certainly are. I trust your judgment implicitly.
Though, I mean, I'm just sort of saying, I think that's probably what it is.
Okay.
At least to me, that's what strikes me.
Well, you might be right. A McDonald's customer said she found a promotion for a weight loss club added to her delivery order.
Oh!
Can you imagine? So in a video on TikTok, the woman said she believes that her DoorDash driver slipped the offer card into her bag, likely without realizing the implications.
Okay. All right. In a sign of potentially the cruise industry gearing up, two Carnival Cruise Lines ships berthed in the port of Galveston in Texas on Sunday. This is the first time this has happened in more than a year as the industry looks to restart after being obviously devastated by the COVID pandemic. The Carnival Breeze and Carnival Vista both arrived around noon on Sunday with locals lining the docks to welcome and cheer them back to port. Oh, that just gives me chills thinking about that because the jobs that have just been on hold, it's just devastating. The cruise industry, as I've been telling you, has been hit really, really hard, especially by the pandemic. And even now, it continues to be hit hard, especially in the New York ports, American ports. You cannot have your ships leaving American ports at this point. Just a few weeks ago, the industry bosses and politicians sent a letter to the CDC saying, look, please just get rid of this lift sail restriction stuff and just let cruises start to go again. You know, we'll have vaccinated passengers on board. There's lots of protocol and everything. Just let us get going again. Hopefully that's going to happen soon.
I know you're a jet setter, Juliet, and you've spent a lot of time in Italy. Have you been to Pisa?
I have.
Yeah, well, I've never been there. But now is an interesting time to go because Italy's famed Leaning Tower of Pisa is open to visitors after being shut down during the entire COVID pandemic. Italian TV reporting, visitors snapped up 500 tickets on Saturday morning on the first day the tower reopened. Tickets are valid for 1 year. The 180-foot high tower remains among Italy's top tourist attractions. It was closed for more than a decade, beginning in 1990, to allow restoration work to keep it from collapsing. The landmark that was built in 1173 is recognized by the UN as a World Heritage Site.
You know, the thing is about Pisa is that people get off their tour buses and they walk over to the tower and they take their pictures and they kind of walk around that area, but they don't actually get into the town of Pisa, which is actually beautiful. It's a beautiful town. It's along a river, and people just kind of think that Pisa is what's around the actual Leaning Tower, and that's not the case. So I would suggest, if you're going to go to Pisa, branch out and go into the actual village of Pisa.
When we do our listener trip there, we will fully explore.
Have we decided that we're going to go to Pisa or Italy?
Well, I mean, I don't know, and why not, right?
I think we should do a cruise. That's what I think we should do.
Yeah, well, you want to do a riverboat cruise.
I mean, we can do either one. A big cruise or a little guy?
So what's the difference in population for river versus standard?
Standard can have up to, the big ones now, the big ships, 6,000 passengers.
Okay,
the river cruises are, anywhere from about 100 to 180.
All right. Well, I think we'd have a lot of people that would want to.
Have you been on a river cruise, Mr. Nolan?
No, I've never been on a river cruise. I've been on, those big mammoth ships. I've been on a bunch of those, but... Not the river cruise. I've always
highly
wanted
recommend.
To do that. Yeah, you know, I wanted to do it in Europe, obviously, but I wanted to do it in the United States, too. There are several that go up and down the Mississippi, and yeah, really
American
cool stuff.
Riverboat Company.
Yeah. Really, really cool stuff. All right, Wes. Oh, by the way, we're going to Italy? Cool. Just let me know when, and I'm there.
All right.
Westbound Route 4 at Decatur Avenue. Down pole, down wires, earlier accident. That's at T-Neck on the drive southbound. We're extra heavy from the George Washington Bridge to 155th Street. An accident, two lanes out of service there. Now coming inbound. On the LIE, we're all jammed up. New Hyde Park Road to the Cross Island. A multi-vehicle accident. Again, two lanes are out of service. Now, Transit Authority. The Uptown 1 trains are express-only Chambers to 4-2. Downtown 2 and 3 trains are local-only 14th to Chamber Street. Also delays on the F, the N, the R, and all on its side again today in effect. The support of service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start a 30-day trial at Audible Plus when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Did you guys hear about this woman who was on a plane and she had a baby? She suddenly went into labor and gave birth, and she didn't even know she was pregnant,
oh,
Frank.
Please.
Her name is Lavinia Munga. She was flying to Hawaii with her family when she started having contractions. Apparently, the baby was 26-ish weeks, so very early. But her story went viral after one passenger announced the news on TikTok. And you could see the video. Passengers were cheering, and thankfully there were medical people on board that could help her. So, can you imagine?
No, I can't. I'm always very skeptical of these stories of women giving birth without realizing they're pregnant, but I guess it does happen.
Yeah, well, apparently. The baby looked quite small, I have to say. But you could see pictures of all of the passengers staring back and probably freaking out. But everything seems to be okay with the little baby.
Thank goodness. Well, a legendary actress has passed away. We'll tell you who and what the reaction from Hollywood and fans has been. Also, what the feds would have done if there were a different verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. Sid Rosenberg's got sports. But first, here's all the national news with Fox News Radio.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. It is Monday. It is officially May. We are in the heart of spring. And this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Great to have everybody here. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Deb is following the breaking news, as you heard. Christian and Eric are at the controls. Sid is up with sports at 6:15. And here is what people are talking about today. People are quitting their real jobs to go after their dreams, after what makes them really happy and inspires them. I will tell you why. Also, what makes a man attractive? It's a question that Frank thinks about often, and he should be very happy with the answer.
Well, I thought about it a lot more before I was married. I will tell you that.
All right. Speaking of, your wife is wonderful.
Oh, well, Rachel's thank you. I got to spend some time with your husband. We all had dinner on Friday, and he is similarly wonderful.
Thank you.
So, and you're welcome. And all right, 607, let's check in with a man who is also pretty wonderful in his own right, at least when it comes to predicting traffic patterns, and that's Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. If you're coming inbound on the LIE, you got big trouble this morning. We'll start, first of all, at the Cross Island Parkway, an accident, the right and right shoulder going bad along with the center lane. So you got big problems as you come inbound on the LIE. I'm sorry, I misread that. The left and center lanes are blocked. The only thing open is the right lane and the right shoulder. So as you come inbound on the LIE, you're backed up, at least at this point, to New High Park Road, Lakeville Road, that area. Now, you're also looking at delays then as you start to get in towards Queens Boulevard, right by the BQE on that lower roadway. There is another accident. So, two separate problems on the LIE to either end of Queens. Now, if you're on the southbound side of the drive, you're still backed up from the George Washington Bridge down into the 150s as they straighten out that earlier accident. Still issues on the 1, the 2, and the 3, and alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Yep. Well, I hope everybody had a nice weekend. As far as the weather went, Saturday was gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. Sunday, I was expecting a little more sun. I didn't quite get it out in Huntington. And today, we're going to be getting clouds and some light rain developing this afternoon. We're going to get up to a high in New York City of about 64 degrees. And tomorrow, it's actually, things have changed since the last hour. We're going to be looking at 72 degrees with cloudy skies and potentially a little bit of sun popping out there, which is nice. Wednesday, more rain. It could be periods of heavy rain. And Thursday, we should be getting sunny skies with a high of about 62 degrees. I'm just looking at the weekend. I don't even want to talk about it yet because I don't like what I'm seeing. And there's still quite a few days away, so we should be okay. Franklin?
Oh. Yes. Well, fans are continuing to mourn Olympia Dukakis' death. The Oscar-winning actress died on Saturday in New York after months of failing health. She was 89 years old. She won a Best Supporting Actress Academy Award for her performance in the 1987 film Moonstruck. Her other movie appearances included Working Girl, Steel Magnolias, Mr. Holland's Opus, and the Look Who's Talking films. Olympia was the cousin of former Massachusetts governor and 1988 Democratic presidential nominee Michael Dukakis.
And she's actually the aunt of my former executive producer, Peter Zorich.
Oh.
Who is a very great guy, great producer.
So my sympathies to him, then.
Yes, exactly. Sending our love. All right. Annie Wise and Riley Loudermilk are students at an Ohio high school. The two 18-year-olds are also a couple, a gay couple, and a couple who are at the epicenter of a major drama that has been unfolding at this school in the school district. The school district's Facebook page was swamped with nasty, offensive comments after posting a picture of the couple at the prom. The online abuse led to a meeting between parents and the school. One parent got up to the podium and angrily said, quote, "I don't believe there are two genders. I mean, I still believe there are two genders, male and female," which I don't really understand what that has to do with this couple. But anyway, the school stood by Annie and Riley, who, by the way, were elected by their classmates the king and queen of the prom.
Well, the Derek Chauvin trial obviously generated a great deal of controversy and a great deal of interest. But now we're learning what would have happened if Derek Chauvin, the officer involved in the Minneapolis incident with George Floyd, if he would have been found not guilty. Well, there are new details emerging about what would have happened. Federal agents were reportedly ready to arrest Derek Chauvin in court if he had been found not guilty last month. The plan was to charge him with violating Floyd's civil rights, but now Department of Justice prosecutors want to indict him for Floyd's death last year and a violent arrest of a teenage boy back in 2017.
Well, on a much more pleasant note, nearly two-thirds of Americans say that they are optimistic about the next 12 months as President Biden wraps up his first 100 days in office. This is according to an ABC News Ipsos poll. It was taken as the president wrapped up those first 100 days. Little more than a third, 36-ish percent, say that they are feeling pessimistic about the future. The majority, 52%, support federal spending to boost the economy, and most Republicans, at about 78%, think taxes should stay the same. Democrats, however, disagree.
Well, New Jersey, speaking of good news, New Jersey's rate of coronavirus transmission is dropping to the lowest that we've seen in more than a year. The rate of transmission is at 0.46, down from 0.54 on Saturday. It comes as the Garden State reports 1,048 additional infections and 19 additional deaths.
Well, that's great news. L.A. County marked its first day, by the way, without a fatality from COVID-19 in 410 days, which is pretty amazing. They recorded their first COVID death way back in March 19th last year, when four people died. The daily deaths peaked at 290 on January 8th, and officials say the figure may be adjusted because there are often, you know, reporting delays on weekends. But as you probably know, and Frank, you talked about this, Disneyland reopened, and people are flocking back to the beach, so I think they're feeling pretty positively as well.
The Queensborough president is backing the Brooklyn borough president for mayor. Donovan Richards says his Brooklyn counterpart, Eric Adams, is the right person to lead New York City post-pandemic. Richards says that Adams is consistent and his positions don't change for political convenience. He also says the Brooklyn borough president knows what it is to struggle. He'll make his endorsement of Adams official today during a press conference. Last week, the Bronx borough president, Ruben Diaz Jr., also endorsed Adams.
Prince Harry received a standing ovation after he offered a heartfelt thank you very much to frontline workers, and he urged Americans to look beyond ourselves with empathy and compassion, quote unquote, during the star-studded Vax Live charity concert in Los Angeles. He was among a lot of big celebrities, including J-Lo and Selena Gomez, Ben Affleck.
Sid Rosenberg.
Sid Rosenberg was not there, but we just call him Sid. Now, or if he was out there, we'd call him Hollywood. But all of these folks taking the stage Sunday night at the concert, which was taped, it's hosted by Global Citizen. It was at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, and the crowd featured only vaccinated guests. The concert itself was meant to promote the equitable distribution of coronavirus vaccines worldwide. And this was Harry's first public appearance in the U.S. since his grandfather, Prince Philip's funeral, and since he and Meghan Markle have had that bombshell interview with Oprah Winfrey. And people were very happy to see Harry.
The United States is denying a report that there's an agreement in place with Iran for a prisoner swap. Iranian state TV reporting the prisoner swap would involve $7 billion going to Tehran with the prisoners released in return. On CBS's Face the Nation yesterday, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain denied those reports, saying they'd be delighted to confirm the news if it was true. The Iranian report also claimed it reached a deal with the United Kingdom for Iran to release an additional prisoner in exchange for $550 million.
Well, we have a woke alert. We've got a woke alert. Will Snow White be canceled next? Apparently, yep, the folks at Disneyland have sparked a backlash over the revamping of a ride featuring Snow White over this scene. It's called True Love's Kiss. That's the scene, because apparently Snow White is asleep and she's not able to give the prince consent. And apparently critics have hit out at the addition of the scene. They say it models bad behavior. And again, while Snow White is in her cursed trance, the prince kisses her, believing she's dead. And somehow that is going to send a filthy message to the people of the world.
They're replacing her with a Scott Stringer ride.
That's not something I would want to get on.
No. 6:15, speaking of interesting rides, Sid Rosenberg.
Oh, yeah. I'm not wanting to get on.
All the late sports.
Yeah. Good morning, Frank and Juliet, on this Monday morning, the month of May, getting closer to Memorial Day. Can't wait. Let's go to the baseball. The Yankees, how does a sick team get better? You play the Tigers. Really that simple. Yanks get their first sweep of the season. Talon got his first win in 2 years on Saturday. And Corey Kluber, who pitched 8 shutout innings yesterday, earned his 100th career win as the Yankees got past the Tigers 2-0. Here was Kluber after win number 100.
It's cool. It's a huge accomplishment, obviously. You know, it's not just you. Obviously, there's teammates involved in getting you to that point. You know, training staff, strength staff, all that kind of stuff. But it's definitely a cool moment.
Don't look now, but the Yankees are back to 500 at 14-14. They enjoy a day off today, I should say. They're in Houston for the Astros, a set starting tomorrow night. What a win for the Mets, too. They blew a four-run lead, Edwin Diaz did, but held on to beat the Phillies 8-7 after a home run call was reversed. Pete Alonso had a big three-run double in a six-run eighth inning. And again, the Mets got past the Phillies 8-7, the final score. Alonso thinks this could be the start of something big.
Just such great team baseball, like picking each other up, making plays in the field, pitchers getting big outs when they need to get big outs, and clutch hitting. And I think that I don't know if that's a season defining game tonight, but it's definitely a momentum shifter.
The Jeff McNeil had four hits on the day, three hits for a red-hot Michael Conforto. Pilar had three hits and a home run. Metsies start a series against the St. Louis Cardinals later on tonight. The Mets are now 11-11, atop the NL East in first place. Knickerbockers remain red-hot, blew out the Rockets 122-97. 31 for Julius Randle, 24 for Derrick Rose off the bench, 21 for R.J. Barrett. The Knicks are now 8 games over .500. And now a solid four spot inside the Eastern Conference. The two team inside the East is now the Nets. They lost yesterday, 117-114 to Milwaukee. The Greek Freak hammered the Nets for 49 points. The Nets fell to 43-22. They're a half game back of the 76ers for the top spot in the East. And again, the Jets went quarterback last Thursday night. They took Zach Wilson, number 2 overall out of BYU. The 52-year-old question is, will he be the next Joe Namath? Well, we'll talk to Joe Namath today at 9:05 on Bernie and Sid. Sports at 15:45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Sid.
That is cool. Joe Namath. We've got the real Broadway Joe, though, giving us traffic every 10 minutes on the sevens. Good old Joe Nolan.
Hello, yeah, that's Joe. Better. Good old Joe Nolan. I'm Broadway Joe. No way, man. Inbound LIE, we're all backed up. Shelter Rock Road into the Cross Island, a multi-vehicle accident. Two lanes are out, and it continues to be that way. So that left and center lane's out. Again, you're backed up to Shelter Rock Road, and I imagine that's going to get much, much worse before it gets any better. If you're traveling then further on in, right around the area of the BQE on that lower roadway, again, you've got an accident there as well. Now, I've got another one. This just on the southbound Van Wyck down by Kennedy Airport, a disabled one lane out of service. Now, we have problems on the drive. That continues as well. Southbound, two lanes are out at 155th Street with that accident that continues. And Mass Transit pretty much on or close, except for the 1, 2, and 3. They still have delays. And alternate side is in effect today. This report is a service of Indeed.com. Whether you hire one person or hire up a storm, you can count on Indeed. Indeed has 135 skill tests that helps you find the right candidate faster. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. More at Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Let's get to some weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today, we're looking at cloudy skies with rain starting sometime this afternoon, getting to a high of about 65 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll get up to 73 degrees, but we will have a mix of sun and clouds. Stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Wednesday, thunderstorms are definitely likely in the morning, and then there's a chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. There may be some strong gusty winds, so keep an eye out for that. High of 69 degrees, and Thursday, things look pretty nice, 64 degrees and mostly sunny skies. Right now here in New York City, it is 60 degrees.
All right. Well, construction spending figures for March lead off the week's economic reports. Building industry analysts are forecasting a 1.9% increase after spending fell 0.8% in February. The numbers are due to come out at 10 o'clock this morning. And a Japanese anime epic is this week's top film in North America. Demon Slayer Mugen Train earned nearly $6.5 million in its second week of release in the U.S. and Canada. Mortal Kombat was a close second with $6.2 million. Coming in third was Godzilla vs. Kong, which has grossed over $90 million domestically in its 5 weeks in theaters. Rounding out this week's top five are Separation and Raya and the Last Dragon. Studios are seeing higher grosses now that many theaters across the U.S. are reopening after 14 months of closure due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Juliet.
Thank you, Frank. And now it's time for Sid. Just Sid.
Just Sid.
How are you, Sid?
Good morning, Juliet.
What's happening on your show today?
Well, we've got Rich Lowry today. He's so good on Mondays, guys, reviewing the political weekend. Of course, you know him from the NBC, from Politico, on the National Review. So he is a staple, if you will, on Bernie and Sid every Monday. As I'm promoting all morning long with the Jets, taking a quarterback last Thursday with the number 2 pick overall, Zach Wilson, Joe Nolan, and all the Jet fans around the city, even Joe Beningo, will be listening to us today. Joe Namath, Broadway Joe, will join us coming up at 9:05. He's on the show quite a bit. Joe and I go back to our days at Sportsline USA in Fort Lauderdale back in the mid-1990s. And he's a great guest, and he's fun. So he'll join us coming up at 9:05.
He's hilarious.
He is. You know, he had a bit of a rough road. He talks about it. He wrote about it, obviously. We know about that Monday night deal with Susie Colbert, that embarrassment. But that's not Joe Namath. I mean, Joe's had such a brilliant career, not just on the football field, but an ambassador for football. And listen, he was about as big as an icon as you'll ever get. The fruit commercials, the Fabergé, the pantyhose. I mean, he was just a great, great, great ambassador for football. He helped, of course, with the merger, with the AFL coming to the NFL. And he's just a super guy. So we're excited about that today. Very.
And what was that movie that he did? It was like a movie like, you know that movie.
No.
Yeah.
I have no idea. That movie?
Yeah.
You know that one.
No, I think it was the only movie he had a starring role in.
I don't even know.
CC and Company, I think, was it.
Oh, was he in that?
CC and Company. The steel worker from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's where he's from.
I have the movie right. Right. Okay. CC and Company. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
I didn't know he was in a movie. I really didn't know.
No, it's cool. It's a really neat film. It's like a biker film.
Is that right?
Yes.
And Joe Namath played a biker?
CC Ryder.
CC Ryder.
Wait, CC Ryder. Oh. Hold on. Wait a second. CC and Company. CC Ryder. Okay, so because there was a singer, a blues singer, Wayne Cochran and the CC Riders.
Oh, there you go. They copied it from that. Julia, what'd you get on Friday night? What'd you order? I'm just curious.
I had the pasta carbonara, spaghetti carbonara.
So good.
Oh, I mean, I was so full by the time it came because, like you said, they put out, at Michael's of Brooklyn, they put out, I mean, olives and cheese.
I told you.
Oh, my. It was
and the
just,
red peppers and the bread.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like it's all over. When I see that, it's just forget it. I had a bite of my
And what is the Frank Morano special?
First of all, we had prolific appetizers, right?
Yeah.
So we had the spicy galamad.
Which is the best.
We had the fried artichoke hearts. We had my favorite thing on the menu, which is that avocado crab thing. It was just
delicious.
Great. And then I got the lobster a la Michael's.
Look at you.
Which was out of the
You should have seen this thing.
Oh, and we got these portobello mushrooms, which Juliet's husband, John, said tasted like steak.
Is that what he said?
He got rabbit. He got rabbit.
That's a gutty call.
Yeah.
Very gutty call.
He is a risk taker, let me tell you.
Well, listen, it's a fine restaurant. So if you're going to get something like rabbit or duck, you better get it at a fine place.
And I said to Fred, who's part of the family that owns it, I said to Fred, because they have bucatini on the menu.
Yeah.
I have not seen bucatini anywhere. I said, Fred, there's a national bucatini shortage. How do you have bucatini on the menu? He says, I didn't know anything about a shortage. It's like the laws of supply and demand don't even apply.
No. Not at Michael's.
Well, the cool thing is that they took us in the back.
That's what I was going to say, to show you how they make the sauce.
To tour the sauce. I was thinking it was like, a guy standing there mushing up tomatoes. It's a whole factory.
Oh, it's amazing.
They churn out, what did he say, 20,000?
I think it's 40,000.
40,000 a day?
Their sauce sells great in supermarkets and all over the country. We've got tons and tons of it. I know you guys too, but it's really a great place. Was Enzo your waiter?
He was our waiter.
Yes.
He's the best. He loved
Enzo
my father.
From Sicily. Not Sicily. Yeah, Sicily. No, Sardinia.
Yes.
Sardinia.
Yeah. My dad went there for about 30 years. He loved my father. He was so sad when my father died.
Aww.
He's a wonderful guy. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I know Frank's been there many times, but for you, Juliet, now
hopefully we'll
it.
Do something, the three of us, there soon.
Yeah,
soon,
that would
right?
be a lot of fun.
But first, we got the Friars Club on Friday.
That's right.
I can't wait to go.
Well, I am not holding my breath for your attendance. All right, have a good show. Rich Lowry and the great Joe Namath coming up on the Bernie and Sid show, beginning at 6:30 and going until 10. So that is a show not to be missed. Anything else folks need to know about?
Well, I just teased this, so I feel like I should probably talk about it. What makes a man attractive? A new study is out, and it's talked to single women, and they say, yes, I mean, tall, dark, and handsome is always nice, but it's a lot more than good looks. Apparently, and these are Australian women that are being questioned. So, but they say, well, I mean, I know Australian women, they're very similar to me, but they say that they're most attracted to personality, a sense of humor, honesty, and chivalry. I mean, click, click, click for you. Look at that. The chivalry thing. You're just, you lead the way in that.
Well, I try. I mean, but that's nice to hear.
When I came and sat down the other day before you guys got there and John and I had been sitting at the table at Michael's, I went to the loo and I came back and John jokingly sat up because he knows that you do that. And he doesn't do that for me, but he does open the car door every time for me, like goes around
nice.
And opens it for me
yeah.
wherever we are, even if we're at home. But yes, chivalry is not dead because Frank Morano is alive.
Well, look, I make an effort. I'll say that.
Well, it's appreciated.
And finally, I'll just bring this to everybody's attention. NASA's Mars helicopter is being given a new mission. It'll soon begin one-way flights to act as a scout for the nearby Perseverance rover. The helicopter named Ingenuity made history 2 weeks ago today with the first powered flight on another planet. Since then, it's flown three more times. The fifth flight will see the helicopter land at a new site and plot a course for the rover, identifying potential hazards and science targets.
Fabulous. It is now time for traffic and weather on the 7s. Let's go to traffic with Joe Nolan, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.